It's always a little bit amusing to me when I say the gospel of the Lord and people, after having read a gospel that is extremely challenging, and then people say, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. It's a real challenge in that gospel, and it's not easy to find praise in the challenging gospels. The bottom line in today's gospel from Luke is that should you choose to follow Jesus, it's not going to be a day at the beach. It's going to have its challenges. And Luke puts into this account several of the symbols, if you like, that will highlight those challenges. Firstly, he has Jesus heading to Jerusalem. So, because the time, he says, therefore, the time was coming for him to be taken up. So, Jesus' mission begins there, and for Luke, it's going to end there as well. So, Jerusalem is the goal, and nothing is going to divert Jesus from his goal. So keep that in the back of your mind this morning. You know, what is it that diverts us from this goal that we try so hard to achieve in our personal spiritual lives, but so often we don't actually get there? Let's keep that in the back of our mind for the moment. So he's heading to Jerusalem, and then we come to the Samaritan village. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with the whole Samaritan Jewish drama. It actually goes back a long, long way. It goes back to about 780 BC, when there were the two kingdoms. You had the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. There were the 12 tribes. I haven't got enough fingers to do that. There were the 12 tribes, and they became the two kingdoms, Israel and Judah. And then the Assyrians came over and conquered the northern kingdom, took over Israel. And the people from Judah had Jerusalem as their capital. And what the Assyrians did was they deported the majority of those from the kingdom of Israel, left some of the farmers and some of the elderly. And in time, of course, they all intermarried with the new people that had been brought in. The Judeans felt that those in Samaria were now diluting the Jewish blood, and so there was an antagonism way back then, and that was a religious antagonism because of the dilution of the Jewish blood, as well as the political implications that came with foreigners coming in. Then 530 BC, Cyrus in Assyria said those that were deported, they can all go back to Israel and to Judea if they wish. And he sent one of the members of the tribe of Aaron, the priestly tribe, to go. And then they had this big argument with the Judeans. I'm just giving you this so that you get an idea of why it's important when Luke mentions the Samaritans, because he's the one that gives the Samaritans the most press. So they all come back, and the Judeans start to fight with the Samaritans who've been infiltrated by foreign blood and foreigners. And the priest from the Aaron tribe, he set up a temple in a place called Gerizim in Samaria. And that temple, the Judeans always felt, was in competition to the temple in Jerusalem, which was being rebuilt. But the Assyrians, who had come in with returning refugees, if you like, they went down to Jerusalem and said, listen, we're prepared to help you build this temple again. And the Jews there said, no, we don't want you to go away, because they thought that they were unclean. So that just brought in another level of antagonism. Unfold a few years, and then the Samaritans came down one night and then cast a whole lot of human remains, the bodies, the bones that we're specifically told in 1 Kings, the bones, they cast them into the floor of the temple, which was really not only just a horrible thing to do, but it built up such hatred. So by the time we get to Jesus, the birth of Jesus and his ministry starting, the relationship between the Samaritans and the Jews was nothing but hostile. And that's why Luke, in his gospel, uses the Samaritans all the time. He has the Samaritan, you know the story of the Good Samaritan. The Jewish people didn't look after their own, but a Samaritan, an outsider, did. We have Jesus talking to a woman, the Samaritan woman by the well, Jesus broke all of the social rules of his time to go out to this foreigner. Now, why Luke hasn't extended that today is because he's linked it into the story of Elijah. That's why it's used in the first reading. And Elijah called down fire from heaven, and he also went up to heaven in a chariot of fire. So Luke uses that sort of imagery to connect the people to their historical past. Then he comes across three fellows, actually. And the first one says, let me go. They went off to the village. I'll follow you wherever you go. And then Jesus says that foxes have holes. When the word foxes is used by Jesus, you know that he's referring to King Herod. He called Herod the fox. Foxes have holes. So he's talking about all those who follow Herod. And birds of the air have their nest. Birds of the air is always a reference to the Romans. The Romans had on a gold standard the golden eagle, which would march through the area. So when Luke is using those images, he's saying even the foreigners that exist here now have somewhere comfortable to lay down or be at peace with. But I don't. And that's because I'm on my mission, and I'm not going to be derailed by things of comfort and luxury or power. That's essentially what he's saying. So we need not be derailed by luxury and power. Then the rather challenging line comes in. He says, look, just let me go and bury my father first. That chap, his dad's not dead at this point. What that means is that the son is saying, or this young man is saying, Jesus, I want to follow you, but let me go back and wait till my father dies. Because he's just over-exercising, if you like, his loyalty to his father and the tradition of the father. Because normally once the father dies, the son takes up the father's occupation to feed and support the family. And this guy is saying, look, just let me go and bury my father. In other words, wait till my father dies and then I will come and follow you. There's that little condition at the end of it. And that starts to bring us into the picture. Because we tend to say, look, I will do this for you, Jesus. I will do these things. I will be a socially aware person. I will do whatever I can. But, there's always that but. Or just not yet, or tomorrow. Some of us even say, if. I'll do this if you'll do that for me. Which is rather childish, but it's something that we learn as a child and take into our adulthood. And these three men who are talking with Jesus, Jesus is fairly blunt in the way that he directs them and directs the conversation. So I'm just saying this morning that we also are not always comfortable. That's how I began my homily. We're not always comfortable with the things that Jesus says and asks us to do because they are extremely challenging. But I think today that in essence, the message that he is giving us is really about don't be attached to things. And those things include people that distract us from our mission, which is to be with him and to spread the good news. That's the bottom line. So if anything doesn't support that mission, spreading the good news and reflecting the life and the love of Jesus Christ, if that doesn't come through in our life, then we are not authentic in the practice of our faith. And so sometimes we blend it down like the Samaritans, and then you mix that with a little bit of politics and a little bit of bigotry, and all you've got is hatred. And that starts to come the more you filter through this particular gospel. It is very challenging. And what sort of things do we need to sort of detach ourselves from that can make our life more focused on the mission that we're asked to do, that we're challenged to share in? What sort of things? I think one of the things that we need to detach ourselves from is probably memories. Many of us as adults hang on to nasty, horrible memories that have caused us pain and anger, and then we have things like revenge bubbling away. Those sort of things blunten the sharpness of the tool that we use to carve our way on this mission for Christ. If we can get rid of those things that hold us back. Things that hold us back are not necessarily material things. If you're in poverty, well, clearly they would see, the poor would see that the material things hold people back. If that's where you sit this morning, well, then do something about it. If it is your material life that is holding you back, then start to detach yourself from those things that you think are so precious. If there are people in your life that are holding you back, and by that I don't mean the person that you're in a relationship with or your children, I don't mean that. I mean things like when we focus so much on work that we miss out on being with our family and being with those whom we love. That's the sort of detachment I'm talking about. Jesus doesn't want poor people. I mean, if we were to take this gospel literally, all we would have is a family of happy but homeless people surrounded by decomposing loved ones. He doesn't want that. I mean, seriously, he doesn't. He wants us to get our priorities right, and then we can face the challenges that unfold as we go ahead. It's not about being devoid of the blessings in life and the good things in life. It's about detaching ourselves from the things that hold us back.